The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. Palmore, very much. Amen. It's always good to be able to hear her sing a solo. What a wonderful job. I appreciate that. John chapter 17, verse 11, I want to speak tonight on how to become a good Christian. And you say, preacher, I'm already a good Christian. Well, then perhaps this message will be to you to help somebody else become a good Christian. I don't know. Or maybe there'll be a day when you find yourself not being such a good Christian. You'll remember these words. You'll go back upon them and say, "Oop, I needed that just right then." But in John chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible says, as I reiterate this particular verse and others that follow, the Bible says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee." Now he's coming to the Father, and he says this, "Holy Father, keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Now look at verse 12. The Bible says, while I was in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now look at verse 13. And now it says, "Come I to thee, and these," now watch what it says, "and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So here you hear the Lord Jesus praying. You know, if you really want to get to know someone as they're pouring their heart out to God, kneel beside them at an altar sometime as they're pouring their heart out to God. They're not putting on some type of a game face. They're really sincere. And when you step in and you get to hear them pray, many times that will show you the caliber of the Christian, yea, the caliber of the maturity of a Christian that they truly are. So I want to speak tonight on how to become a good Christian. The Lord's Prayer, as somebody would say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," is not really the Lord's Prayer. Rather, it was a teaching about prayer to the disciples. Our Lord never had to ask forgiveness, and so it was a teaching about prayer. But if you do want to study the time where Jesus prayed, you'll look at John 17, where we just read a moment ago, and you get to see, as you walk up beside the Lord and he is kneeling there and he's praying, you really get to see the heart of our Savior. Somebody said this, "You become a Christian by receiving, you become a good Christian by giving." You become a Christian because of all that he has done. You become a good Christian by the things that you do for him. Our growth in Christ is determined by the degree that we obey his will. And so it's very important that we as believers rise up and try to be obedient to our Savior. Now, I want to show you some things tonight, very simple things. If I was to try to get you to maybe step up and obey God or understand how to get the blessings of God on you more, one of the things I'd tell you to do was to find out all the commandments that God gives you in the Bible and simply obey them. Just find out what he says. You know, the easiest way to fall in line with your parents is find out what their commandments are and do them. The easiest way to please your boss is to find out what the commandments are and do them. All right? And so in the Bible, you have many commandments. Of course, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. "Go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. Whatsoever," listen to what it says here, "teaching them to observe all things, and whatsoever command you, though I'm with you all, on to the end of the earth." All right, so he said, "I'm with you always, on to the end of the earth." Now, wait a minute. So he tells us what? He tells us to go soul winning. He says to bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there be meat in mine house. That's a command. He says to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. That is a command. The Bible says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. That is a command. All throughout the Bible, you have commands. And the easiest way, I believe, the easiest way to step up and simply start obeying God is to go through your Bible and mark all the commands that God has showed you in the Bible. And then by stepping out and starting to obey those commands, you find yourself getting closer to God. The easiest way, I'm saying the easiest way to be able to obey God or to be able to get close to your boss, your mom and daddy, whoever it might be that's in authority over you, is to simply find out what their commands are and step up to be able to do that. That's the easiest way. Then you can take your Bible and go through the Bible and find out things that God hates. What are some things that God hates? Now, by the way, there's the word abomination that you find in your Bible. That is talking about things that God abhors. That's talking about things that God hates. The Bible talks about how man shall not lie in bed with a man, or woman shall not lie in bed with a woman. All right? So God hates the sin of sodomy. God hates the sin of sodomy, all right? We understand that. He says it's an abomination, but he also says a false balance is an abomination. So God hates it when a person has a false balance. He says a lying tongue is an abomination. So God hates it when there is a lying tongue. The Bible says that a man should not take a step to dress like a woman, nor a woman taking a step to be able to dress like a man. And God uses the word abomination there. There ought to be discreetly, as you're looked upon, a difference in the sexes by even the way a person appears. All right? And God uses the word abomination there. God uses the word abominations. They take the babies up, and over top of a volcano, they would offer those babies as sacrifices. And by the way, are you listening to me? He said that that was an abomination. Can I tell you, when people butcher the babies today, which we call abortion, that's an abomination. There is things that God says is abominations unto him. Now, all right, so the easiest way to obey God is I'm going to find out what God says to do. I'm going to find out what the commands are, and go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm going to find out what the commands are. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, they bring me meat in mine. Find out what all the commands are. Come out from among them, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Find out what all the commands are. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. It's the matter of some as, and so much the more as you see the day. Find out what all the commands are. He says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Find out what the commands are. Find out what God says that's important to him, and then you start stepping in that direction. You start taking that step. In other words, you find out what the commands are and you start moving that direction. Now, by the way, sometimes God's commands, and it might be grievous to you, but he says that his words are not grievous. You understand that we are not supposed to frustrate the very grace of God. You know, if you love somebody, it all comes down to the heart. If you love somebody, you want to give it your very best. You know, you say, but I don't agree with all of his commands. I understand that perhaps. But can I tell you, if you love him, your love for him will be that which replaces the agony of trying to obey him. Because when you love somebody, you want to do stuff that's not going to hurt them. You want to do stuff that's going to try and help them. You're going to try to go the right direction, all right? So we understand this. In order to be able to become, I'm just talking about a basic good Christian. What do? Find out what God's commands are and obey them. Statement number two, you find out what those things are that God hates and you refuse to do them. God says that he hates a proud look. Well, if that be true, then you do your very best to walk with God so that you don't have that. I'm saying find out what God hates, and you refuse not to do that. Then what do? As we're walking past and we're hearing the Lord pray, we see this. We see that there ought to be times when we obey God's request. Now, let me give you one of them. It's very simple, and you know it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The word beseech there simply means to beg. Can you imagine the Lord God coming to you and getting on his knees, God, the creator of the universe, coming to you and getting on his knees in front of you and saying, I beg you, would you serve me? Can you imagine that? But that's what this verse is referring to. He says, I beseech you, brother. Oh, you say, but I tell you what, I only want to serve him in the fall and spring months. No, you ought to serve him all the days of your life. You ought to give him everything you've got all the days of your life. Put him first all the days of your life. Now, wait a minute. Again, it comes down to, I really do believe this, it comes down to a heart issue. Because if we really love him the way that we should love him, we have no problem obeying his commands. If we love him the way that we say that we ought to love him, we have no problem refusing to do what he hates. Because we don't want to hurt him. If we really love him the way that we say that we love him, then what we're going to do is we're going to listen to his request. And we're going to step up. I mean, after all, who else sent his only begotten son who shed his blood for you? Tell me tonight, who else gives you eternal life? Tell me tonight, who answers your prayer? Tell me tonight, who gave you the strength to get up in the morning time? Tell me tonight, who is the one that comforts you during time of distress and time of despondency, yes, even on your part? I'm saying this, it's the Lord God. And so when he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Don't give him the leftovers. Amen. Boy, that'd be a good sermon, wouldn't it? No leftovers for God. But don't give him the leftovers. Don't wait till you're old and gray and wore out. You say, okay, God, I've served myself all these years. Now you can have what is left. Don't do that. Oh, you be somebody that plugs in. And by the way, if you heard about plugging into Jesus and you're old and you're gray, can I tell you, stay with it, get with it, give God your very best. I'm saying this. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And listen to it, which is your reasonable service. It's the reasonable thing to do. Why do we pass out tracts in an elevator to those that are lost? It's reasonable. That's just the right thing to do. Why do you witness to people that you sit down beside of on an airplane? Well, it's just a reasonable thing to do. Why do you witness to somebody that you're buying your groceries from? Why do you give them a gospel tract? Well, it's just a reasonable thing. See, Christians ought to learn to do the reasonable thing in season, out of season. You ought to decide, I'm just going to be a Christian all day long. Well, I thank God for, we have 9 different soul winning times here. I thank God for each and every person that comes out soul winning. God bless us all. Amen. But you're not supposed to just be a soul winner on a Tuesday. You're not supposed to be just, now thank God you show up because it shows whose side you're on. I'd rather show up and show out than to be somebody that doesn't show up and the devil gets to show out. Come on. Besides, can I tell you something? When you show up, no matter what your designated time that you've chosen for soul winning, when you show up, here's what happens. Somebody recognizes you. Remember how that maiden was? That maiden said, hey, you're one of them. Your speech doth betray you. You're one of them. Oh, wouldn't it be great if somebody came up to you and said, you're one of them. Your disposition, your activity, oh, it betrays you. Oh, you know what I find out? I find out this. Those that have a heart to see people saved normally are those that have an outward look more than an inward look. You know, can I say this? Can I say that he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. Now, I'm just talking about passing out gospel tracts. I'm just talking about serving him. You know, it's reasonable. Reasonable. Not everybody can serve in the bus ministry. By the way, not everybody should serve in the bus ministry. Not everybody can be a Sunday school teacher. I've said this before. I said that I can take an A Sunday school teacher and put them in a B slot, being a B Sunday school teacher. We have three divisions, A, B, and C, at our church, and it might not work. I can take a C Sunday school teacher, if you will, and put them in an A slot. It might not work. Don't stare at me like a calf staring in a new gate. There are some people that God even calls to different countries, and they do well. But they pastor a church here in the United States, it might not do so well. Say, so what's that all about, preacher? God has a place for you. Amen. Some people can sing in the choir, and other people we say, please don't. Some people can play a musical instrument, and some people we wish that you take lessons. Some people we can trust to walk down an aisle and take an offering, while other people we think, oh, maybe we better not because they trip every other step. Come on. Some people we can trust to do counseling. Other people we refer not to. Now, can I say this? I say this. I say, the Bible says here, he says, I beseech you, I beg you. He says, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Give God what is reasonable that he's requiring of you. Amen. Statement number one, how is it that I grow in becoming a good Christian? I obey his commands. I find out what he hates and I refuse to do them. I find out what his requests are, and I try to fulfill it. Now, this next one will probably blow your mind. I find out what his prayer requests are, and I try to answer them. You ever do this? When our kids were younger, sometimes I'd scoot by the bedroom at night, and I'd hear them praying for something, earnestly praying for something. And God would touch my heart as a daddy, just like he's done it for several of you fellows in here tonight. But God would touch my heart as a daddy, and Mom and I would talk, Sylvie and I would talk, and we would get what they were praying for. Can I tell you that when you walk past the Savior as he's beside the roadside, and all of a sudden you hear him praying, there are some things that you can answer in that prayer. Did you know that? Here's what the Bible teaches. Watch this, if you will. As you walk by him tonight and you hear him praying, somewhere along the way, as he's heading to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus kneels to pray. And he says this. He says, Father, this is in the text that I read. He says, Father, keep them from evil. Now, by the way, I can help to answer that prayer. I don't have to be somebody that goes out and does evil. I don't have to go out and try and hurt somebody. I don't have to go out and rob a store. I can answer his prayer there. I don't have to go out and curse somebody out. I don't have to listen to rock music. I don't have to do that. I don't have to steal. I don't have to drink. I don't have to smoke. I don't have to dope. Look, there's some things that God says. He says now, as he prays to the Heavenly Father there, perhaps underneath an olive tree as he kneels to pray, he says, Father, keep them, he says, from evil. Hey, did you know you can answer that prayer tonight? He says this, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. You know, I could answer that prayer. I can try to get our people to be one as they were and as they are. I can answer that prayer tonight. I can try and keep people from fighting and fussing. I can try and keep harmony in the church. I can try to keep brothers and sisters walking together and not divided. I can try and help people forgive each other by showing them Bible truth. I can try and help people to love each other and to pray for each other and treat each other as brothers and sisters in Christ and not enemies of the cross. I can try and do that. Now, can I tell you tonight that I can answer that prayer? Here's what he says. He says this as he prays, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. The word sanctify simply means this. It means to set apart for a specific work or use. This pulpit here is set apart for the specific use of preaching the Bible, teaching the Bible. Okay, it is set apart. It's set apart. The piano here, we're not going to have somebody get up and play a jig on the piano. you know, and they're standing up and they're doing, you know, and it's going nuts and stuff. We're not going to do that. No, no, no. This is supposed to be used for the glory of God. Amen. We have lights. We're not going to turn these lights up here blue and purple and black and all this other stuff, and it looks like we're in some rock concert. We're not going to do that. Oh, no, those lights are put there for the glory of God.
Amen.
Hello. We're careful what we put on these screens up here as we advertise things that's up and coming, or as we put up here now the way we do it. I've been doing it now for about 8 months or so, or a year, where I put the title of the message to help people stay focused. And can I tell you, but we're not going to have somebody up there doing stuff that would discredit and dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's there for the glory and the honor of God. We're careful about what we do. Now, can I say this? Listen to me tonight. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We try to help our young people to understand that you ought to set aside yourself for the service of the King. I mean, give him first place in your life. All right? And then we understand this, where he says to keep them from evil. Now, I'm talking about the evil things that are out there that tries to hurt our young people that slips in. Might be an ungodly movie that slipped in. Might be some of these games that, you know, you're not wise enough as a parent to see the wrong in it, and you just let it slip in. You know, these things could slip in before you know it. They got a hook in you here and a hook in you there, and they're pulling you. And they're pulling you. And they're pulling you. You know, where there's no more Bible reading now. There's no good attitude now. There's a sassiness that produces. And a young person doesn't have a heart of joy and a surrender. And it's all because there's different hooks in them pulling them different directions. And those different directions can actually destroy a young person. So what do I do? How is it tonight that I can become a good Christian? I start by obeying God. Secondly, I find out what God hates and I refuse to do it. What do? I decide to obey God's request. What do? I try to see what Jesus is praying for, and I try to slip in. I try to listen and pay attention to his heart, and I try to answer those things. Fifthly, I do this. I look at his promises and I try to fulfill my part. Oh, yes, there is some promises in the Bible that are conditional. Example, the Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord, that's your part, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart, that's God's part. The Bible says, call upon me, that's your part, and he says, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not, that's his part. He says, draw nigh to me, that's your part, and he says, and I will draw nigh to you, that's his part. There are promises in the Bible that are conditional as to how you step up and appropriate them, adopt them, put them into your life. And so I can find out what these promises are, and I could say, I want that. I want that. I want to be able to delight myself in the Lord. But me being the benefactor of that, he's going to give me the desires of my heart. I say, I want to. I want to draw nigh to God. Me being the benefactor of that, he says, if you do that, I'll draw nigh to you. I say, I want to call upon him. I want to have a better prayer life. I want to pray more. And when I do that, he says, call upon me, and I will answer thee. Oh, by the way, here's another one. He says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, that's your part, he says, you shall ask what you will, and he says, it shall be given. All right? So wait a minute. And so I do my part, then he does his part. You ever do this? You ever know what your parents are like? And so you know if you do this, it's going to make them happy. All right, come on, confess to me a little bit. You're a teenager or you're a child in here. And you know there's some things. You know your parents well enough that if you do such and such, you'll make them happy. How many know your parents that well? Raise your hand. You know your parents that well. All right, wait a minute, that's good confession. Now let me ask you something else. How many know your parents so well that you know if you do this and that, that it is not going to make them happy? Raise your hand. Okay, all right. Now, let me ask you this. How many know your Bible well enough? I'm talking to all believers. How many know your Bible well enough and here tonight that you know if you do this and that, you're going to make God more happy with you, if I may say so, that way. You will obey God more, and you know that that's something that pleases God. We'll put it that way. That pleases God. You know there's some things in the Bible. If you do it, it will please God. You know what those things are. Some of those, raise your hand. Now watch this. There's no secret to this. How many of you in here tonight, you know some things that it just will not please God? Just doesn't please God. I mean, it just does not meet the criteria of pleasing God. And you read about them in the Bible, and you know there's some things that a Christian should not do. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Yeah. See, we're not ignorant believers. The problem is not the belief. The problem is the activity that comes after the belief. That's what the problem is. The problem is we have an old flesh, stand up, and that old flesh pulls on me all the time. It just pulls on me all the time. And then I've got the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God pulls on me all the time. I'm not Ben-Hur or something. Don't. And so I've got, thank you very much. And so you're going to hit me, right? And so I've got the flesh pulling on me this way. I've got the Spirit pulling on me this way. And can I tell you, listen to me, please. It's hard. It's hard. But here's what happens. When somebody gets pulled away by the flesh, instead of trying to help them, you come up and you kick them. When what you should be doing is praying for them and trying to get more people to help you as the Spirit tries. And you know what the Bible teaches. So you ought to get more people that is pulling this way. That's why you need a godly youth director. That's why you need a godly choir director. That's why you need a godly principal. That's why you need a godly teacher. That's why you need a godly counselor. That's why you need a godly pastor. That's why you need godly people. Why? Because the world's not going to give up.
Right.
The world's just going to keep pulling. The world's got an anchor. And can I tell you, last time you went to the mall, you didn't hear Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. Last time you drove down the highway, there was not advertisements more about God than there was about secularism or humanism or any other type of ism. Can I tell you tonight, listen to me, you've got more against you if you're not careful and utilize the power of God that God has given you and given you the opportunity to have, and good Christians around you. If you do not utilize the power and those that be around you, what's going to happen is you will get pulled, and you'll get so pulled that when you come to preaching and the preacher hits on your sin, you won't like it. And before you know it, all you do when you come to church is you hear the preacher hitting on you. I had a person stop me and say, "I can't believe you preached on liquor. How'd you know I drank last night?" I said, "Your wife told me." I said, "No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding." I said, no. I hope they believe the no. I said, but here's what I do. I will preach the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit gives personal application. See, I'll preach something general, and the Holy Spirit comes in and says, "That's for you. That's for you. Come on." Oh, I was at the Sword Conference. Thank you. Be seated. I was at the Sword Conference, and Joe Arthur preached. And boy, did he preach a good message. Oh, did he preach. Oh, God got a hold of my heart. And it was about the scarlet rope, if you will, that was let down by Rahab the harlot. Oh, my soul, did God get a hold of my heart. And I sat there on the third row back from the pulpit as he was preaching. Tears are streaming down my face. And I went up. I didn't care who prayed. I was first one or second one at the altar. Boy, I hit it and hit it as quick as I could. I didn't wait. And I just went. And boy, I got on my knees and I prayed. And I was on my knees for quite a spell. And boy, I just bawling and bawling and bawling, thinking about some of my cousins that are not yet saved, still Roman Catholic. And thinking about dear people that I've witnessed to here in this city. And I've got a list of them. And I've not been praying for them to get saved like I should. And oh, God got a hold of my heart. And then I was just so thankful that I'm saved. Amen. You don't know the family history that I came from, all of it. But can I tell you, it's the good grace of God that I'm a believer. Now, can I tell you, boy, I was just weeping and weeping and weeping, and just tears are coming down. My face is all red and stuff. And then there's people who wanted to get pictures with me after the thing. Hey, can we have a picture? I look like a dope head. You know, and say, hey, Brother Wells, can we get a picture with you before you leave? And I step over there, and man, my eyes are all beat red and, you know, all puffy, and my all around here, it's all puffy and beat red, and my lips are all, look all red. I'm telling you, I look like I was a drunk or something. Now, but can I tell you, that's the good word of God. But if we don't allow God to continue, boy, I thank God for the camp decisions. I don't make light of any camp decision. They're all great. I thank God for the youth conference decisions. But can I tell you tonight that you could probably come to me and tell me if you kept those decisions or not.
Right.
I mean, have you? I thank God for parents that were stirred. And I know parents that came to me while the kids were at camp and said, oh, I'm praying for my son, or I'm praying for my daughter. And oh, preacher, it might be the last hope of them going to camp this year. Oh, preacher, please pray with me. Please pray with me about my son or about my daughter. And moms and dads were in tears and praying for their sons or praying for their daughters. And man, God did a great work in the hearts of young people. And thank the Lord for that. But it shouldn't stop there. I'm saying find what pleases God and step out and find what promises you can claim. Then I'll give you this and I'm done. And that is this. And that is through God's desires. Here's what he says. Luke chapter 22 and verse 15. He says, I desired to eat this supper with you. I desire to eat this supper with you. Now, what is that? That's sweet fellowship. But that sweet fellowship doesn't come to the very end. First, I say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I might not have the ability. I might not know everything I ought to know, but I'll do what you want me to do. And you step out and you obey God's commands. Okay, God, listen, I want to get close to you. Oh, I tell you what, if it hurts your heart, oh, dear God, it should hurt my heart. And if you hate it, God, then I ought to hate it as well. And so I decide that I'm going to refuse to do the things that God hates. I say, God, I want to listen to your request. I really do. God, if you request me to do something and you said, I beseech you, you're begging me to serve you, that's what I'll do. And I step out and I decide to serve God. I decide that, okay, God, I want to listen to your son pray. I just do. I want to hear his heart. And he begins to pray these things. And he calls his father, his holy father, and he begins to pray these things. And I say, that's right, God. I hear your son praying. And I can answer that prayer. 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 And I step out to try to answer those prayers. And then what do? I decide I'm going to be one of those that says, okay, God, I found a verse in the Bible. It really surprised me. I did. But I found a verse in the Bible that is a conditional promise verse that if I do this, you'll do this. And so, God, I'd really like to see you work in this area of my life. So I'm going to do this right here. It's just like taking vitamins. It's not hard to figure out. You take vitamins and you take minerals and stuff like that. Eventually, you're going to get this in return. You tithe. You tithe. You obey God in tithing. All right? You obey God in tithing. Eventually, you're going to get this in return. Amen. Just like a crop. Just like a crop. We go out and we plant in the spring, and when harvest time came around, we knew what type of crop we would get according to what type of seed that we planted. All right? Then we find this out, and I'm done. And that is that last statement I'm going to restate, and that is through his promises, but also through his desires. Find out what he desires. Find out what he desires. What is it that you could do in your life that would change you? Would it be spending more time in your Bible? Would it be praying more? Would it be witnessing more? Passing out more tracts? Would that be it? Would it be looking for people that you can help more to pour your life into? What is it that you could do more to become that good Christian that you should be? What is that? Well, You know, I believe this. I believe that if some of you adults would take our children and our teenagers on as a public ministry, and you just decide, okay, I'm going to pray for these five children. I'm going to pray for these five teenagers. That's what I'm going to do. And then encourage them. Write them a note. Write them a note. Prayed for you today. It doesn't have to be something big or special. Prayed for you today. Prayed for you today. How many of you teenagers, if you got a note that somebody gave you and said, I prayed for you today, how many of you teenagers, would that mean something to you? Raise your hand if it means something to you. Well, sure it would. You know, because, can I tell you, it's hard. It's hard trying to live a Christian life. I'm telling you, it's hard. It's difficult. But when you have people that's praying for you, now, some of you have matured to the point, to the place in your life, you're going to serve God. It doesn't matter if everybody's for you, everybody against you. It don't matter. You're getting up in the morning, and you're going to serve God. I mean, I got it, I know. All right? But sometimes, can I tell you, those, Denton Bell wrote me a lengthy, lengthy letter when I was up in North Carolina. They came over to be in the meeting I preached on Wednesday night, and Denton wrote me a lengthy letter and just thanking me for this and thanking me for that and praising for this and praising for that. Well, you know, I'm using Brother Butler's office. When you walk in there and you're shocked, it's because it's me and not Brother Butler. But he's letting me use his office, you know, and I appreciate his kindness. But Denton wrote me this long, lengthy letter and just accolades over. And, you know, those things I cherish. I cherish. My wife and I, we'll, believe it or not, we still do. We'll write each other. Cherish those things. My children and I will write. And I file them. Penny, whenever I go off, I don't know where she comes up with this stuff. I have no idea. But every time I go off, I fly off somewhere, Penny will write me a poem. Now, sometimes it's a good poem. But she'll write me a poem. And, you know, preacher, I'm praying for you as you fly out today and all this other stuff. But good stuff. You know, I cherish stuff like that. Don't you? Don't you? Come on, nod your head or something. Don't you? You know, when your wife comes up to you and says, you be my hunk. Doesn't that mean a lot to you? All right, we're getting down to the end of the sermon. Come on, if your husband comes up to you and says, oh, man, you're pretty. I like that outfit. Doesn't that mean a lot to you? I'm talking about the women now. But doesn't that mean a lot to you? When somebody gets up this saying and you say, boy, that was a good song. That was good. Boy, I appreciate you. Doesn't that mean a lot to you? Sure it does. You know what? Well, somebody, one of the teenagers said this. You know, our church is getting bigger, and I felt like, I caught this. They said, I felt like that we have lost the closeness. Did you catch that? I felt like we've lost the closeness in the youth department. Well, closeness is retained by everybody doing their part. No matter how big the church gets, you can still be close to each other if you want to. You know, you can still have friends, and you can still even get more people involved in friendship, see? And I think we could do this. I think that you and I can work on becoming better Christians as we just decide to be good Christians. Father, help us, I pray, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.